You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. For a change of pace, I'm not going to be talking about war and peace and what's happening in Jordan and Iraq today. I decided that as a change of pace, there's a story that will be getting more and more attention in the weeks to come, and that is the proposed bill in both the Senate and the House to increase oversight of the Federal Reserve System. Now, the Federal Reserve, or the Fed, which is the short way most people refer to it, is the central bank of the United States. They are responsible for monetary policy, and they do that largely by targeting the federal funds rate, and that is the rate that banks charge each other for overnight money. Now, historically, that rate has fluctuated. Actually, it's fluctuated quite a bit, and for those that are new to the show, I need to point this out. I have a chart on it so you get an idea what I'm talking about. The way you listen to the show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com, and at the top, you'll have links to my most recent 60 to 80 shows. At the very bottom, you'll have links to my entire portfolio of shows, except for some of the very earliest ones. And in between, though, you will have my notes or material that I have looked at in preparing the show. And this looks like it will be a battle between Senator Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul, who was, when he was in Congress, he has since retired, was a critic of the Federal Reserve, or the Fed, and was pushing for an audit as well as more oversight of what the Federal Reserve is doing, and a more timely reporting of what the federal board sets when it's setting policy, what the arguments were, as well as the complete minutes of the board and the activities of the Federal Open Market Committee. I favor more oversight, but the argument the Fed is pushing back on, and they're really taking two tacks. One is to say, and I'm sort of surprised, but as well as disappointed, there's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, one way he pushed back is, he's right about this, but it's not the point, is that Congress has really not been able to control spending. In other words, and that's fiscal policy. Fiscal policy, in when we're talking the federal government, has to do with spending and taxes. And that's a correct criticism, because under both the Republicans and Democrats, under Bush as well as Obama, doesn't matter who controls the House, the Senate, or the presidency, government spending has been out of control, massively out of control. So the criticism is correct, and it is the responsibility. All money bills have to originate in the House. And then the Senate proposes its bill, and then it's reconciled with identical language, goes for the president, and gets signed. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is neither party wants to limit spending. They haven't balanced a budget in years. It's even worse than that. They've been running up deficits of hundreds of billions of dollars. In other words, they've been spending the money of future generations. You see, unlike the state of Texas, or an individual, or a family, or a business, a church, a public school district, that has to balance their budget, in other words, live within the means that they have in terms of either income or tax revenue, our federal government simply does not have to do that. And the way they've been paying the bills, because when you have a deficit, your spending is exceeding your total tax revenue from all sources. How bad is it? Well, in President Obama's first year, it got up to $1.4 trillion. That's over $1,400 billion. Not a million, billion. That was unprecedented. Now, it has gradually gone down, and it looks like this year it'll be somewhere between 500 or 600 billion. But that is irresponsible. And the problem is neither the Republican Party or the Democratic Party wants to balance the budget. They want to continue doing what they've been doing. They don't want to make the tough decisions. They don't want to tell the American people what's going on. And that's why the deficits keep growing and continuing, and our national debt today is over $18 trillion, which is 18,000 billion, where a billion, just 1 billion, is 1,000 million. I know it's hard for people, and it's hard for me too, to even grasp the magnitude of the numbers we're talking about. Now, what you need to understand and why this concerns you is pull out your wallet. In your wallet, you'll have what's called Federal Reserve notes. The Federal Reserve prints those notes. They don't physically print them, but they're in charge of the level of monetary reserves. And what has the Fed been doing? Supposedly, the Federal Reserve, when it was established back in 1913, right before Christmas of 1913, and the bill was signed by Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat. What they were going to do is make the money supply a little more elastic, but also their major responsibility is price stability. In other words, keep the value of your money relatively constant. Have they accomplished that? Absolutely not. They have been, as far as I'm concerned, a failure, a gross failure. A dollar in 1913 today is worth pennies. If they've been doing the job, the 1913 dollar would be worth today a dollar. It isn't. It's a small fraction of its value then. In other words, its purchasing power has gone down, down, and down, and you see that in rising prices. Let me give you an example. I bought my first car when I was in the Air Force. It was a Buick Regal. And I don't remember the exact price, but I believe it was $3,300. $3,300. Today, and I haven't priced what a Buick Regal would cost today, but I know for sure it would be more than $20,000. It's definitely a more improved car today. But the reason why it's $20,000 is the value of your currency, the value of your money, has been eroded through time. And that was over 40 years ago. So just in 40 years, the price of a car, and that's just ballparking it, is 6 to 7 times higher. That's why your dollar is worth less money. So why should you care about what I'm talking about? Do you care that your money keeps its value? You should, because to the extent that it doesn't, what is the federal government doing? It's a hidden tax. It's a hidden tax. I always get a laugh. The Federal Reserve chairman, the chairman of the board of the Federal Reserve, is a lady, Janet Yellen. She's an economist, PhD. And they always take pride that they're independent, but they have targets. The board has targets, trying to keep the rate of inflation under 2%, 2% or less. Now, think about it. If your money were eroding in value 2% a year, over a long period of time, your money is worth less, 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 and less. And that's up front. They're telling you up front, our target is to keep inflation under control, under 2%. But over the 100-year period that the Federal Reserve has been in existence, the law was signed the end of 1913. The Fed came into existence in 1914. So it's a little over 100 years. Your dollar is now worth less than 3 cents. That's failure. In terms of their primary mission, that is failure. Now, why? Why did they fail? You're relying on a small committee to duplicate the market for money. You see, the value of markets is you don't need a committee to decide what the price of anything is. You literally have thousands, tens of thousands, really millions of independent agents that are interacting. And as a result of that interaction, prices of goods and services will vary. There is no one in Washington, for example, setting the price for my loaf of bread that I buy. And there's a whole range of different types of bread that I could buy. We don't need a committee of PhDs to determine that, either the price or what should be produced. Yet the one area of the United States economy where we still have the old command and control structure and really price fixing is the Federal Reserve fixing the price of money. And a proxy for that is the federal funds rate. They have kept the federal funds rate at 25 basis points since December of 2008. And I have a chart that shows this. If you look over many, many years, the federal funds rate has fluctuated dramatically. And that is due directly to the actions of the Federal Reserve Board and its chairman. What the Fed has done, and it's going, it'll be 7 years in this coming December, is arbitrarily kept the federal funds rate low. Now, why did they do this? There are a couple of reasons. The major reason they did this, and this is why they're not independent, is the United States government was running massive deficits, and they're still running massive deficits. That's why this policy, frankly, is a failure. Now, to pay the bills, what the Department of Treasury, which is part of the federal government, has to do is issue securities, so-called Treasury securities, and they have different maturities. You have Treasury bills, which are short-term notes and bonds. And the price or the interest that the federal government pays is based on an auction. They all auction off these securities every business day. And you can go online, U.S. Treasury Department, and you can get a list of what they're auctioning every day. And mostly financial institutions can bid on it. Insurance companies, commercial banks, investment banks, foreigners, foreign banks, foreign central banks, sovereign funds. There are a lot of people that invest in Treasury securities. And it's those Treasury securities that is the national debt in total. Now, what's happened? Because the Fed is trying to keep the price or the cost of that interest that the federal government has to pay low, they have kept the federal funds rate near zero. That's what it's called, a near zero interest rate. And because of that, the price that the Fed has to pay in interest to people that invest in Treasury securities has been arbitrarily kept low. In other words, the cost of debt, the cost of financing the federal government, these massive deficits have been kept low. Now, what do you think that encourages when you keep the interest rates low? It encourages the exact policies the president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was criticizing. And why do I say that? If the federal funds rate were set by the market, it would fluctuate quite a bit more, but it would be anywhere from 2 to 3 percentage points higher. That's why I use that word arbitrary. This is not a market set price. This is a interest rate that's set and determined by the Federal Reserve. This is the target that they try to keep the federal funds rate at. And they do that through federal open market operations. Now, I'm not going to get into the details. This is not a lecture in financial markets or monetary policy. But I need to give you the big picture, and hopefully you'll be concerned. The Fed is not independent. It is a partner of the Treasury Department, not legally, but what they're doing is enabling the federal government and Congress, they're in on this too, to run these massive deficits. Because if the interest rates were higher, what would happen? Instead of spending roughly about 6% of the federal government's budget on interest, it would quickly go up to 10, 12, 15%. And what would that do? It would squeeze other budgets. It's very simple. That's why the Fed, all it says, well, we can't let we don't want political interference. These congressmen and senators don't know what they're doing. And that's true. But I don't think the Fed board knows what it's doing. It's a group of very smart PhDs, largely in economics. These are intelligent people, educated people, and well-paid people that simply don't know the damage they're doing. They are causing the very booms and busts by their actions. And they are in bed with this government and this Congress. That's why they get away with what they're doing. Politics is, if anything, front and center with what the federal reserve does. This is highly political decision making, and I think Congress, our representatives, needs to rein in the Federal Reserve. I don't approve at all of their policies. They call it an unconventional monetary policy. I always love the terms they come up for this. Oh, it's unconventional, but they're really trying to fool a lot of reporters and people that simply don't know economics, certainly don't know monetary policy. They give a good PR, but cut through all the rhetoric. What are they in essence doing? They're financing the federal government at a low rate. Now, some will say, well, what's wrong with that? Keeping the interest rates low. There will be a day of reckoning. And that's the danger of this policy. And it gets more and more dangerous the longer this proceeds. Because anyone with common sense, forget about a PhD in economics, that might rule out common sense, would tell you the federal funds rate should not have been near zero for this long. That is capricious and arbitrary, but it's consistent with their overall goal of financing or funding the United States government. Now, as the United States economy has grown, even though at an anemic pace, namely below trend line of 3.5%, at a rate of roughly 2.5%, you are going to see increases in tax collections as the economy grows. And that's what a booming economy is, simply what you want, because that means your deficits should decline as tax revenues rise. There's a problem, though, and the Fed never sees it coming. The people responsible for the last housing boom and housing bust are the same people on this board. They didn't see it coming, and they won't see the next one coming. And it's coming. What they're trying to do by the one thing they're doing is enabling the United States government to borrow a lot of money at low rates. They're also, by keeping rates low, fueling another asset bubble, this in the stock market. And they've been doing this, and they recently ended the purchasing of Treasury securities because they're looking a little ahead. They're looking at what the growth rate in the gross domestic product is, where the unemployment rate is, and you got to be careful there. So they've stopped buying Treasury securities. And I have a chart that shows that. It's flattened out. Now, the name for what they were doing is quantitative easing. Some call it printing money, and that in essence is what it is, but they're creating money because the Fed doesn't print money. They don't need to print money. They create money at a keyboard, and they do that by issuing Treasury securities in exchange for what they're buying. In this case, up until last November, they were buying U.S. Treasuries, and you could see the explosion of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. And if you look at the chart, that's the blue curve. Today, the balance sheet of the Fed is over, or it's approaching, $4.4 trillion. And roughly half, about half are Treasury securities. Now, what are they buying? And this might surprise you. They have been buying mortgage-backed securities, securities issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And that's that green curve. And you notice the width of that green curve is starting to get wider again. That is enabling another boom, or what will turn into a boom, hopefully, to them, in the housing market, which really has not come back. It's not where it should be. I'm not saying housing prices across the country have not recovered. Yes, they have, to various degrees. But we're not seeing a dramatic growth in the construction of new houses primarily, but also commercial real estate as well. So where am I going with this? I believe Senator Rand Paul is right. We need more congressional oversight of what the Fed is doing, and we need a more transparent discussion of the Fed's monetary policy. And you need to be honest here. Don't fall for this nonsense that they're independent. If you read the Fed's Federal Reserve's literature, they'll go on and on and how they're independent, but the proof in the pudding is, are they independent? Are they doing the U.S. Treasury Department's bidding? And my answer to that, yes, they are. All of these people are political appointees, including Yellen. Last time I checked, she was a Democrat and a liberal or progressive Democrat. And you can't go by who appointed the person either, because Ben Bernanke Bernanke taught at Princeton, was chairman, I believe, of their economics department there. Bright guy. All these people are bright. I want to say this up front. They all went to the best universities, MIT, Harvard, Berkeley, Chicago, you name it, the top 10, 20 schools in economics. These are bright people. They've done research in economics. What they haven't done is run a business. They're not really, with some exceptions from Wall Street, they're academics, and they are political. You don't get appointed to these positions without a vetting process, and that includes a political vetting process. And certain people are acceptable and others aren't. And they think they know what they're doing. And in some cases, they do. In others, they're wrong, and they get it wrong, and they get it wrong repeatedly. If they were so smart, how come a dollar over 100 years is worth less than 3 cents? Answer that question. And that's an important question. Matter of fact, I think that goes to the problem with central banks in general and this Fed in particular. Why its mission and number one priority should be the stability of the purchasing power of the dollar. In reality, that has not happened because they have a bias, an inflationary bias. They want to target it so it's always inflation is 2% or less. And recently, they actually wanted price growth to be over 2%. Now, why am I talking about this? First of all, you need to be concerned with prices. Yes, gasoline prices have been falling, but that is largely due to a combination of supply and demand, but more importantly, speculation and the fact that regulation of the future market has dramatically changed, where today that is driven by speculators in the future market for crude oil and gasoline. They're betting what the future price will be for various commodities, including crude oil. It is a casino. I'm not against speculation. Let me make that very, very clear. They provide liquidity for the market. The problem is its usefulness as a hedge for people that both produce and consume a certain commodity, whatever it is, whether it's wheat or crude oil or gasoline, or you pick it. You want it to be dominated by people that actually produce or use it. And in the past, that was 70% or more. Today, speculators that neither produce the commodity nor use the commodity are responsible for over 70%. Usually it's 80% or more of the contracts. So it becomes very much a casino situation. It is speculation, having little, not none, but very little relationship to what's happening in the real market in terms of what production, what's being supplied in terms of production, and what is being demanded of the commodity. So a point I'm trying to make is this. Prices for individual commodities are largely driven by that specific market. What we're talking about here when we're talking purchasing power is the general price level for the economy. And that's an important function of monetary policy and the actions that the central bank takes. So why we have, at least recently, little inflation, and part of that is the fact that gasoline prices have been falling. At some point in time, well, I think two things are going to happen. You're going to have another recession. And then what is the Fed going to do? It's already near zero. The other thing that could happen is the economy could take off. I'm not expecting that, but it could. If it does that, the Fed is going to have to raise interest rates. Because remember, their target is at roughly 2% inflation rate. If, for example, consumer prices are increasing at 4, 5, 6%, then the central bank needs to pursue a more conventional monetary policy, namely a more tight monetary policy, and sell the assets that it has on its books. And by doing that, they're reducing the money supply because people have to pay for those assets. And how do they pay for the assets? With Federal Reserve notes. Doesn't mean they have a big wallet or box of money and give it. No, they have it in a bank and it's transferred. So what the Federal Reserve has been doing up until November of last year is quantitative easing. In other words, they've been printing money to buy federal treasuries. And now they've stopped. What they should have been doing all along, but didn't was to gradually raise the federal funds rate. So it's back to where market forces would set it. It hasn't done that. A number of economists, including me, have been recommending that. I'm not in a minority here. And I think they should have been doing this several years ago. Because I think it's fundamentally dangerous what they've done. I know their whole intention was to enable the federal government to keep on spending. That was the name of the game. We need the federal government to keep on with government spending. But another consequence of their policy, a low and stable, arbitrarily stable federal funds rate, is what you're seeing every day in the stock market. Because this has been a what many have described as a Federal Reserve rally. It's easy money and low interest rates. And it has fueled speculation and investment in equities. See, people are searching for returns on their investment, and they're not getting them in treasuries. In the sense that what the Department of Treasury is paying based on the bids it gets at auction is below what many feel they require for them to invest in any treasury security. And that's why for many years under quantitative easing 1, 2, and 3, the biggest buyer of treasury securities has been the Federal Reserve. Now the question is, does the Federal Reserve have what's called an exit strategy? When are they going to get back to normal? Good question. Because if you look at their balance sheet, it went from under $1 trillion, right around the $800 billion point, to now where it's $4,400 billion. That's a big jump. And the composition of what they had on their balance sheet has changed. At one time, there was a lot more categories to look at. I made it simple and excluded this. But there's a message here, and that's in really the next chart. What has been the cumulative percentage change in central bank balance sheets, comparing the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of Japan? You can see the Fed dramatically has increased that in percentage terms. It's right around 350% change since the beginning of 2009. Ladies and gentlemen, that's unprecedented, both in the sheer percentage growth of the balance sheet as well as keeping the federal funds rate at such a low rate for such a long period of time. I'm trying to be kind and diplomatic here. I don't think they have a clue what they're doing. They don't have a clue how they're going to unwind this. They're flying by the seat of the pants. I used to fly as a hobby, but that's what they're doing. Everyone's going to have their opinion as to what they should be doing. Now, I agree with the Fisher, who's that president of the Dallas Federal Reserve, that Congress needs to get its act together. The central problem, and there's no disagreement here, is the federal government, under both political parties, have been spending too much money for too long, and all the Fed is doing is accommodating that. And that is the problem. That's why I support Senator Paul. We need more oversight. We need more discussion. You know, we don't have the gold standard anymore. We have what's called the PhD standard, piling it higher and deeper. This is dangerous, folks. Why? These interest rates that the Fed is setting are used to set other interest rates that are market set. These are arbitrary interest rates. You're losing information is, I guess, the best way to say it. And it does create distortions. For example, I leased a car about 2.5 years ago. The interest rate on that lease was a fraction of a percent. You know why? Because of this policy. Now, you might say, well, that's good. That encourages people to go out and lease cars or borrow and buy cars. Yes, it does. But what happens? You have a lot of people that shouldn't be doing that, that would never get these rates. If we were in a normal situation, if we were following a conventional monetary policy, what caused the financial crisis of 2008? Now, those that support big government, and that's both political parties, oh, it was those greedy Wall Streeters selling these mortgage-backed securities. But you need to go back in history. What was the federal government doing, both in Carter, then in Clinton, and then under Bush? See, in the past, at one time, you had, well, you still have, loan officers. When you went into a bank and wanted to take out a loan, let's say a mortgage for a house, you had to demonstrate to that loan officer, because he's going to be responsible for the loan, and the bank is going to keep that loan on its books, that A, you could pay the monthly mortgage. In other words, you had a job, you had a certain level of income coming in, you also had assets, a net worth. In other words, it was difficult to get a loan. But then the politicians interjected themselves in the process. They wanted more people to have home ownership. Well, that's a good goal, but here's the problem. If a person doesn't have a job or has a poor paying job, has little net worth, in the past, he never would have gotten a loan. But what was going on is the way the government forced the banks to make these bad loans was to say, if you want to grow your bank and acquire other banks, which many banks did, we will not approve that acquisition unless you can demonstrate to us you are providing loans, mortgage in this case, this example, to, for example, minorities. Now, the bank said, well, we're not in the business of losing money. Yeah, we'll make the loans, but we want these loans off our books. We want to be able to get rid of them. We'll keep the good loans that we know the person has a high net worth or a solid net worth, a good job, and he can pay for the mortgage. He has savings. He has collateral. We'll keep those good old-fashioned loans, but we're not going to keep on our books. We're not going to be at risk, what they used to jokingly call ninja loans. No income, no assets. So the government, Congress, said, okay, we understand the problem. We're going to have Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, buy those loans. And they did. And what they did is they packaged them, and then they were sold as investments by various investment banking firms on Wall Street, as well as across the world. They're safe. They're safe. These are home mortgages. The problem is they weren't safe. Now, I'm giving you a real shorthand version of what happened. My point is it's government intervention into the banking sector and insisting on certain people getting loans so they could own a house that normally would never qualify for a loan. But they suddenly could. And fueled by low interest rate policies of the Fed and the change in the institutional objectives, for example, of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who buy these mortgages up, ultimately led to speculation in that real estate market. People were flipping houses, and ultimately that crashed. And that led to the financial crisis of 2008. There are a lot of blame to go around, but it was that initial intervention by the federal government, when you combine it with Federal Reserve policies, that forced it first that real estate boom and then the real estate bust starting in 2006, 2007, 2008. Monetary policy matters a lot, and it has real impact on the goods and services people can afford to buy. And what is a little disturbing, and I haven't had time to really dig into this, but it is noticeable, yes, they're not buying or supporting the purchase of U.S. Treasury securities. In other words, they're not engaging in quantitative easing. But what have they done? It appears to me, just by eyeballing it, that they're now back in the game of buying mortgage-backed securities. And that's why I went over that what happened in the housing industry. This enables those institutions to restart. Remember what happened to those institutions. They were taken over by the federal government. They were quasi, I forget the phrase. They were private companies, but there's a phrase and it just is escaping me. And I do apologize for this. I should know this. Government enterprises, the name, there's a category for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Anyway, they're back at it again. They're inflating or trying to inflate another asset bubble. Now, this is the early stages, but that's what I'm seeing when I look at this balance sheet of the Fed. Something's going on here, and you can look at it if you know how to read the numbers. You also see it in the stock market. As the Fed has kept both the federal funds rate low and engaged in quantitative easing, and you can see it if you compare what the S&P has done over time, as well as compare it with changes in the balance sheet of the Fed. And I have a chart for that. When is this dance going to end? I think we're going to have another recession shortly. When and what's going to be the immediate cause, I don't know. I don't have any better crystal ball than anyone else. If I did, I certainly would not be trying to launch a career into talk radio. If I could predict what interest rates would be, I wouldn't be here and talking to you. I'd be making a lot of money. But people can't predict it. Even if they're PhDs from MIT or Harvard, Berkeley, Chicago, or wherever, Cornell, Columbia, the usual suspects. This plane is going to crash. And who's going to get hurt? These people aren't going to get hurt. The very wealthy are not going to get hurt. It's the middle class largely that's going to be getting hurt. We're going to see another crash in both the real estate markets and in the stock market. It's way overdue, and it will be triggered by another recession. I don't know what the event will be, but it will happen. So you have to pay attention to what the Fed is doing, and I think it's more than past time that this Congress increase the oversight into what the Fed is doing. Now, I know what the sensitivity of the no one likes someone else looking over your shoulders and questioning your judgment and your policy. And everybody is human, everyone makes mistakes, but you don't want to be sitting at a table in front of a microphone and have a senator or a representative, and some will do this, and I know that, play Monday morning quarterback and criticize what you've done. The problem is, based on past history of what this Federal Reserve has done and these boards have done, there's a lot to criticize. Remember, economics used to be called political economy. Now, there's great pretensions that economics is a science, and that's another show. But it's fundamentally, especially when you're talking about government spending and its relationship to the money supply, it is very much political from start to finish, from start to finish. So I'm hoping that Senator Rand Paul's bill not only passes, but they start to really dig in and have oversight of what the monetary policy of this Federal Reserve is. I think it's beyond unconventional. I think it's reckless. I think it's dangerous. And as much as you can react by criticizing Congress, and that's where the blame is. In other words, this monetary policy that the Fed has pursued would not have been needed had Congress been balancing the budget. And that's the problem. I understand their reaction, but that doesn't mean you're not part of the problem, the Board of Governors, as well as the Open Market Committee, because you are. You're causing these booms and busts. And many economists have pointed this out. It's nothing new, because you're trying to replace the market and its distribution of knowledge across millions of people, and the market setting and the discovery of prices. It's really the discovery of prices. Markets don't set it. They sort of, well, they set themselves. My point is, there's no committee in Washington deciding the price of soap. And be more specific, a price of a 4-ounce bar of Dial soap. But what the Fed is doing is setting the price of money when it sets that federal funds rate. And it's not independent when it buys billions of dollars of U.S. Treasury securities. And now, apparently, it's starting again to buy mortgage-backed securities. With that, I need to wrap up the show. Tomorrow will be my Friday show, and I will be going over the Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics employment situation report, as well as other stories in the news. I hope you enjoyed the show. You can listen to it by going to promptpops.wordpress.com. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.
You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.